This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, Jenny Murray here, welcoming you to the Woman's Hour podcast for parents. How does a parent begin to approach the question of virginity with a son or a daughter? What virginity means and at what point it's okay to lose it? Well, Rachel Fitzsimmons lectures in sexual health at the University of Central Lancashire and joins us from Liverpool. Flo Perry is the author of How to Have Feminist Sex. Flo, how would you define virginity?
For me, virginity, it shouldn't be thought of, I don't think, as one occasion. I think losing your virginity should be just about gaining sexual experience over time. And we have many virginities. We're all losing virginities throughout our lives. You know, the first time that you have sex with the person you marry, the first time that you have sex with anyone, the first time you do oral sex, the first time you have sex outside, all these different types of virginities. Neither one needs to be more important than the other, I think.
You make a comparison in the book with eating your first chocolate croissant. How did that idea work?
I'm very passionate about pastry and sex, so naturally these things are always on my mind. I think that what I wanted to make the point with that is that you have a variety of chocolate croissants in your life and they vary in quality. Sometimes you have some really terrible chocolate croissants and sometimes you might have some bad sex. But this doesn't need to be, they don't need to be the ones you remember. You can have some amazing chocolate croissants and some amazing sex. And what your first chocolate croissant is like doesn't matter because you have a whole life of chocolate croissants ahead of you of varying quality.
Rachel, how would you define virginity?
I love Flo's chocolate croissant analogy. That's perfect. I think she's right. It's if we put so much pressure on this one event, particularly for young people, that could be just too much pressure. So I like this idea of gaining experience over time. Definitely. It's too complicated to define as well. It's very heteronormative, isn't it? Our traditional view of virginity as being a male and female penetration thing, where actually sexual activity is so much broader than that. And I try and get young people to sort of view it that way as well.
What do you make, though, Rachel, of everything that's written about your first time? That it's going to be painful, you will bleed, you won't have an orgasm, the hymen will be broken, it'll all be horrible.
It sounds horrific, doesn't it? So, I mean, I do a lot of sex education in schools as well as the lecturing, and we try to sort of shatter these myths. I mean, yeah, there can be bleeding, there can be pain, but actually, and that's talking very much about females' experience of first sex as well. But actually, if you take it back to basics and strip it down to do you feel safe? Do you feel respected? Are you in a healthy relationship? Does it feel exciting? Does it feel to be more positive about sex and actually think about who we're actually experiencing it with? And that will shape your experience more than often the physicality of it.
And what, Rachel, would you say it means for boys, the mere concept of virginity?
I think historically, parents have treated sort of boys' virginity differently to girls, I think. We're very protective of our child's virginity. And for girls, we seem to think it's coveted. Lock up your daughters. And for boys, it's more, you know, don't get anyone pregnant, sow your seeds. So actually, I think boys feel a lot of pressure because no one's talking to them about their thoughts and feelings. Whereas actually, in the National Survey of Sexual Attitudes and Lifestyle, it was very evident. 40% of young women said that they... 50% of young women felt they could not make an informed decision the first time. And 40% of young men also felt they could not make an informed decision the first time. So they're experiencing this too.
Flo, what about the whole question of pornography, which has proliferated in recent years, and dealing with unrealistic expectations if you've watched it?
I think that's actually a very important conversation that parents should be having with their teenagers. I think that you can't stop pornography. It's everywhere. It's not going to go away anytime soon. I think that what we need to do is talk about it more and tell our teenagers that it's not realistic. And comparing your sex life to pornography is like comparing your civil service job to being James Bond. Porn is entertainment. It's the movies. It's made to look good, not feel good. And that normal sex, well, not normal sex, but sex you will be having is not like that.
Rachel, when do you reckon is the right time to start these kind of discussions about embarking on a sex life? And you know, a lot of parents will find these discussions about pornography actually quite hard.
Yeah, they will find them hard. And I think the mistake we make as parents is we leave it a little bit too late. And I spoke to you about this before on the show, where I think the younger we can sort of open that dialogue. As parents, it's our job to establish and maintain a meaningful dialogue. And I think if you build those communication skills with your family, your parents, you're actually equipping your child to have really good conversations with their partner and their friends, and that will help. And pornography, yeah, if you just go straight in when they're 14, so pornography, it's going to be a bit intimidating. They're going to go, shut up, Mum, go away. But yeah, if you've already talked about consent, our bodies, our rights, our responsibilities, then it's a natural progression to sort of talk about, you know, it's very personal, virginity. It's very personal, your actual experiences about sex. But actually, as a parent, you can talk about reading your gut instinct. Do you feel safe? Do you feel respected? And all those things. They're kind of safe things for parents to talk about. And your kids will learn from that and adapt it to their situations in life.
Flo, how do you reckon parents can take some of the pressure off the children and themselves in this whole vital but often difficult discussion?
I think that it's a great thing to do is to focus on the joy that is sex. And to make sure your child, especially your daughter, knows that sex is meant to be fun. Because there's so many messages that girls get that sex is going to be painful and scary and all of these things. And I think that it's important to remind your children that you are meant to be enjoying sex. And if you're not, then something's wrong. And make sure that they can come and talk to you if something goes wrong. And that sex isn't a source of shame for them.
Rachel, how can we help them deal with peer pressure? And that idea that everybody's doing it, so I ought to be doing it.
Yeah, I think the pressure that often young people are putting on themselves under is often from themselves. We've got this sort of perceived norm of everybody doing it, when actually the average age of first sexual experience, sort of losing virginity, if you like, is still 16. And that's not really changed too much over time. So, but when I ask young people, when do you think people are having sex? They'll tell me, oh yeah, 13, 14. So their perception often puts themselves under pressure. I think young people have this sense of not so much peer pressure, but peer belonging. They want to fit in. They don't want to be the only virgin in their group, but they might not be the only virgin in their group. And I think boys in particular, you know, if you listen to every boy, they're all having sex a lot earlier than they really are.
So what basic differences are there then in the way the subject should be approached with boys and girls, Rachel?
I think it's the same, you know. I think it's about, we need to teach our young people. It's almost like a checklist. Am I ready for sex? Do I feel ready? Does it feel right? Do I feel safe? Do I feel respected? Do I love my partner? Do we feel the same way about each other? Have we talked about condoms, STI prevention? Have we talked about, do I feel able to say no if I want to stop at any point, if I want to change my mind? But it's also about you respecting that in the other person and almost respecting that they've got to go through that checklist as well. So it's about communication, really. So I think the same in that respect.
Flo, what if your child is not heterosexual? How do you approach the subject with them? They may be out, they may not be out, but you may suspect.
I think that you just should let them lead. I think you should answer any questions that they have as honestly as you can. And if you don't know the answer, don't feel like you're lacking in some way. You can help them research together. I don't know, or maybe you can give them some resource, like a book, that they might learn their own way of doing things. But I think there's too much pressure on parents to be the sole source of information when, like Rachel said, like in conversations with their partner and their peers and their teachers, that all of this information contributes to their idea of sex.
How would you recommend, Rachel, a parent approach a sexuality that may not be heterosexual? Should they leave it to friends, to sex education at school, or should they try and handle it themselves?
I think a bit of both. Like Flo says, I think there's lots of people around a young person, parents, teachers, youth workers, peers, that can all input in that debate. I think if you feel that what your sexuality is your sexuality and you have the right to explore that, I think Flo's right, being sex positive and really inclusive in the way you talk about sexual experience, that it might not necessarily be with males, females or either. And that's, I think we just need, our attitudes are really heteronormative. We really need to sort of be more inclusive and talk about the feelings and the experiences. I mean, stressing about, you know, such as whether you're a virgin or whether you're straight or whether it is way less important than how you feel about your sexual experience. So I think we need to sort of have those conversations.
Flo, what about the consent question? How would you say parents should make sure they know it's okay to say no?
I think just make sure your child knows that sex is meant to be something that's enjoyed. And if they're not enjoying it, they can say no. And give your child a sense of confidence. And if they have that confidence that they are worthy of love and respect and a good sex life, then they're going to feel like if they're not getting those things, they can say no. And just make sure that they know that you're there for them if something does go wrong, and that you won't shame them and it won't be their fault if something goes wrong.
And what about, Rachel, contraception and understanding about pregnancy risk and ST infections? I mean, you still hear kids saying, oh, you can't get pregnant the first time.
I know. They're still out there, these myths. I tackle this sort of every week. Yeah, we need to let them know about contraception, the choices out there. But we can know all about how to use condoms properly. We can know about how the pill works. But if we don't have the communication and confidence, like Flo said, the confidence, the self-worth to kind of negotiate that with your partner and have that conversation, I think that's really, really important. But yeah, you do need to get rid of some of those, you know, if the withdrawal method, you know, that will work, or that you can, you know, you can't get pregnant the first time. Those myths are still out there. So I think it's about factual, but also it's communication skills again.
Just a quick definition of what you mean by feminist sex.
For me, feminist sex is about having the sex that you want to have, whatever that looks like, with maximum pleasure for you, rather than the sex that you feel like you should be having because of what society or your parents or your partner is telling you.
So go your own way.
Yeah.
But listen to your parents sometimes?
I don't know. Maybe. It depends what they're saying. Listen to yourself, most of all.
Flo Perry and Rachel Fitzsimmons, thank you both very much indeed. And we would, of course, like to hear from you. If you're a parent, how have you dealt with it? And if you're a teenager, what did you make of what your parents said? And, of course, if you have any ideas about things that we could discuss about being a parent, do contact us. You can email us or you can tweet us. Or you could even send her a letter. Bye-bye.
What is wellness?
I think of the image of wellness as like pure joy.
The important thing is for people to choose, like, what do you want to do?
Wellness are the things your grandmother told you to do.
When you really start to think about it, the answer feels more complicated. I'm Maya Feller, registered dietitian nutritionist and author.
And I'm Dr. Kavita Patel. We're the hosts of Well Now, Slate's new podcast on wellness.
Join us every Wednesday as we tackle that simple yet important question, what does it mean to be well?